It's time to rock and roll, totally German style. That's right, TDR Rocks. We are live here on Sunday night. My name is Bay Ragney, and I got a couple interviews for you to play for you, as well as some music of the artists we're going to talk to. So I got to do two interviews this past week, and I got to tape them, and I recorded them for tonight's episode, as a matter of fact. And the first one we talked to is Crispin Earle, and he's from the band The Veer Union. They've been around for a little while, and they're in the midst of releasing some albums, a box set, and they just put out a video about a month ago. They did a cover of the Linkin Park song Numb, and they did an acoustic version of it, and it's just absolutely amazing. It's a beautiful version. I can't wait to play it for everybody. So I got to talk to Crispin about about the history of the band, things the band's going through, and what they're up to, and where they're going, and they're getting ready to hop on the Resurrection Tour with friends of ours from Tantric and Saliva and Puddle of Mud, which is going to be it's actually a killer tour right now, and they're getting ready to hop on it, I think, this week or the following week. So go to the Veer Union for more info on the tour dates, if they're coming to a city near you, and the music and all that fun stuff to get it. The box set, which is coming out, is limited edition. Once it's gone, it's gone. So get it. TheVeerUnion.com. And then after Crispin, we're going to talk to Josh Bramlett of The Protest. And they're a cool rock and roll band. They're kind of 80s influenced, and they're also a Christian rock band. But good dude. We had a nice conversation, a lot of fun talk. Talked about a lot of some old stuff, some new stuff, some classic stuff. They're heavily influenced also by Kiss. Kiss is the main reason this whole band started. So you're going to hear all the story about that. Their new single, their new album, it's all out there now. You can go to protestrocks.com for more info on that. But before we get into The Protest, we're going to talk to Crispin Earle of The Veer Union. So here he is.
Crispin.
Hello?
Crispin.
Yes.
Hey, it's Bay from Total Gym Radio.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, man. How you
doing?
Hey,
man. How you doing?
Good. We hooked it up.
Very good. Yes. It's happening.
It's happening. So did you smack them guys for me?
Not yet, but I've got it on my to-do list. Because we actually start that leg of the tour in 2 weeks with those guys. So they're on the first leg right now, and then Soil drops off, and we're replacing Soil. So we'll see those guys in a couple of weeks.
Oh, that's cool. That's awesome. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, man.
Cool. So, you know, one thing that really kind of stuck out at me, and I was really curious, an album that you released a few years back called On Life Support, and, like, reading about the band, like, going through member changes and stuff like that, was that truly how the band was? I mean, were you truly on life support at that point?
Oh, absolutely, without question. Without question. And it goes even deeper than just the band members switching over for me. It was also because the first member that kind of joined the band that helped me even want to continue to go was Ryan Ramsdale, who is my rhythm guitar player and has been through thick and thin with me since 2012. And when we first met, his fiance had just passed away from cancer, and he was in a really dark place. Yeah. So in many ways, yes, very much we were on life support. You know, he was going through the darkest days of his life, and I was going through the darkest days of my life. And it was just like, no, this album's going to be called Life Support. And so, yeah, it was very fitting. Very, very fitting.
Wow. Yeah. I was even like, going through all that and just seeing, like, stuff like, like I said, with member changes and just probably how much the whole record industry is as a whole. all those things.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. You know, it's, and I think that's half the reason why now we're putting out a product called History of Revolution, which is, it is all about being able to survive through that evolution. A lot of people 10 years from now, they won't even understand. They'll know exactly how the industry works now. They'll know where their incomes come from, and it will be all settled and worked out. But it's it's the bands such as ours and the bands that are even older than ours that are trying to evolve from the way that the music industry used to run to how it runs now and how it's going to run 10 years from now. Trying to survive through that evolution is a real testament to whether you really want to do this as an artist.
And how, I mean, like, you guys are a true independent artist. Like, when you first got on the scene, I mean, you guys had a label deal. Are you happier now, being that you are the independent artist, especially, like, you know, the state of the business, and you're able to truly have control of your own destiny as much as possible?
Absolutely. Again, stemming from the evolution, I'm the happiest I've ever been in my career. You know, because, you know, I started my own record label called Rock Shop Entertainment, and it made me really realize since I did, and found out where all those income streams, where all the record labels were, you know, essentially making their money. And, you know, it's kind of staggering when you really start to dig into it as an artist and find out the business and find out where the record companies are taking the money. And there's some, I mean, I actually saw this the other day. Peter Frampton had posted, I got paid $1,700 and from Spotify, but I got 55 million streams on Spotify, you know, and he's sitting there scratching his head. And it's like, he's looking at the wrong people. He shouldn't be looking at Spotify. He should be looking at his record label, who is making the money off of Spotify.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's an interesting time where even the older generation, much older than us, are sitting there scratching their heads going, I better start figuring out where my money is going.
Yeah. it truly, I guess it's got to make you too, in this day and age, make you more responsible, you know, as an artist, where, you know, in the glory days of the 80s, where, you know, all these artists were so reckless, and they really, it seemed like they didn't have a care, where now you really got to, like, have your eyes open and see what's going on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, the days of the, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, it's not really that anymore. It's more like wake up at 7 and work your ass off all day. And, when you finally get to the point where you get to go out on tour and enjoy a bit of it and connect with the fans, I mean, that's what it's all about. You're an entrepreneur now. You know, it really is. It's a job that you can be proud of because you get to be creative. It's, you know, you're an artist. You truly are an artist if you're out there and you're making music and getting it out to the people. But it is a grind,
right.
Constant grind.
Yeah, and even like, where, you know, the fun part of being on the road, it's still, I'm sure you're still up early after a long night of driving and doing the grind all day between the whole social media world and interviews and stuff like that as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, and I don't want to make it sound like, that to me, as far as I'm concerned, I've never been so entitled to the fact that I don't believe that we have to work hard. I believe that, you know, if we do work hard, it would be nice to be able to make a living doing what we're doing. And, you know, and I can say that we are doing that now. And that's one of the nicest parts about, doing this through my own label is that is a reality where before we would just get out and grind it out for the labels to make the money. And that's the truth. And that's the unfortunate. It doesn't work like that all the time. You know, just like you said, back in the 80s, I think a lot of bands, they made so much money. The record label almost wanted them to be drunk and high so they didn't see how much money that they were stealing from them. You know what I mean?
Oh. That's the truth,
just
though.
Being honest.
It's really the truth.
You know, it is. Yeah.
You know, it's kind of weird, too, because I grew up in the 80s, as a teenager through the 80s, and, you know, seeing all these, you know, big arena bands and all, where you thought it was just, you know, the whole, like you said, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, to, like, now, modern day, like, when these bands come through town and you go see them in a club where it's, like, you know, a couple hundred people, it's, like, I had this reality check, I guess it was like 15 years ago, where I'm at a club and I was seeing whatever band it was, and I remember just turning to my buddy and saying, you know what, like, it's not the sex, drugs, and rock and roll anymore. This is truly their job. And it was like truly like an eye-opening experience.
Yeah.
Like, this is their job. And I never looked at it like that, but I'm like, this is truly their job.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you have to have that mindset now. You know, there's just, you know, it doesn't mean that you can't go and have a good time, but hey, you know, most people that work a 9-to-5 from Monday to Friday, you know, they get to go out and party once a week too. You know what I mean? It's
right.
It's not much different in our job. You know, you can't party 7 days a week like you used to. And you certainly, even if you were partying 7 days a week, you won't be able to do that for very long if you also have to be looking at all the other aspects of the job, because that's
right.
Essentially what it is. It's a job. But I'm so grateful to have this job. And, you know, and if I have to bust my ass to keep that job, then so be it. You know, that's the way I look at it.
Sure. Sure.
You
now,
know.
How about you guys just released Decade 2 last month? And now, is
yes.
this is all going to be part of a box set? Am I understanding that correctly?
Yes, that is correct. Yes. Did you want me to elaborate on that?
Is there going to be six parts to this?
Yes, it's kind of six parts. So in 2016, we released the first two parts, which was Decade 1 and then Decade 1 Acoustic. So that was
okay.
A brand new album with, and then all acoustic versions of that brand new album was Decade 1 Acoustic. Then this is part two of that, which is another brand new album with also a whole section of acoustic versions of that. But we decided to put it all on the same record. So there's actually
okay.
18 tracks on this. And then there's also, when the box set comes out on the 31st, there is a whole ton of demos and rarities. There's 20 demos and rarities from the past, from the very, very beginning and nucleus of this project, and it's all going into one big box set called History of Revolution.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of, that was the one thing too that was really sticking out to me. It was, you did, guys do a lot of acoustic versions of your stuff, and, you know, the cover of the Linkin Park song Numb and all. Do you guys do acoustic shows? I mean, you do a lot of acoustic recordings.
Yeah, you know what? One of the reasons why we have is we did after we released Decade Acoustic Sessions, we did a full acoustic tour, and it was one of the coolest tours that we've ever done. And it makes it fresh for us as a band instead of just hammering out a rock show every single night for 12 months. You know, it's kind of cool to be able to go play a rock show, take a month off, come back, do a couple of months of acoustic, and it makes it more interesting for your fans, and they get to see you in two different versions of the same band, because it's a very different vibe. And I've always believed a great song could be played in a rock version or an acoustic version or whatever version it is that you want to do. But for us, we really, really love doing acoustic versions. So, and some people love our acoustic stuff and don't like the rock stuff. And some people love the rock stuff and don't like the acoustic stuff. So, you know, it can go both ways.
I mean, it does come across really, not only like different songs acoustically, but like really, I mean, it's a whole new world. And it really just changed the whole aspect
yeah.
of the songs.
Yes, 100%.
Now, what made you guys want to do the Linkin Park cover of Numb, which came across amazing. It's such a beautiful version.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that. You know, I've always been a huge, huge fan of Linkin Park, and so is everybody else in the band. But, you know, the honest truth is I've gone through some serious stuff in my own life, which has, you know, led me to suffer from the same afflictions that you know, that Chester has, and I really felt like it was the right time
right.
to be able to do that, and and to be able to get across to people, you know, it doesn't matter where you are in your life. It doesn't matter how rich and famous you might be. You know, you might think that these people have the entire world, but they still struggle with that same affliction. And that's what really spoke to me. And I felt like it was the right time to do that song, and especially that song, because I've always felt like that song is not necessarily about a relationship with a significant other, or maybe that significant other is that demon that you're fighting inside yourself.
Right.
And that's how I've always connected to that song.
You know, the whole scary thing too, with the whole situation with Chester, and I really, you know, for years being a fan of Linkin Park, you hear the songs and you're singing along in your car or wherever you're listening to it, and you're never, like, with me, like, it wasn't clicking, the lyrics. And then after he passed and I really listened to the lyrics, I was like, holy crap, like, this poor guy was crying out for years. You can just hear it in his music. And I'm like,
exactly.
Know what I mean? Like, did anybody else
realize
how he was crying out, or did they miss it like me too?
I certainly have, you know, and I think that's my point. I've always felt that way. I think that's one of the reasons why I've always connected, not just musically, or not just thought that they were just an amazing band, melodically, you know, or live. They were both, but there is something definitely that's going on there lyrically that, you know, if you dig a little deeper, that there's definitely some darkness there for sure.
Yeah. Absolutely. Scary. So you guys also did a cover of the There's No More tune, Epic.
Yes.
That came off.
Yeah.
Cool.
I mean, I've been a huge fan of Faith No More. They were one of my first rock bands that I ever loved. And I've always felt like it's very important as an artist to make sure that when you're doing something, you're doing it in your own way. You know, anybody can just go and repeat doing somebody else's song exactly the same way that they did it. And so we did it. And in some ways it's funny. 50% of the people absolutely loved it. 50% of the people hate it so much that it almost worked in our benefit, because there was so much hate that they didn't even realize that the more that they hate it, the more that they spoke about it, just spread the word wider and wider. So, you know, in some ways it's like people were discovering us because of the fact that people hated it so much. So it's almost a win.
That's funny. You almost got to kind of hope for, you know, that 50-50 love hate, or even whether it's loved or hated more. Either way, it's going to get some streams or hits out of it.
Exactly. And it did quite well. I mean, we actually, the amount of streams, we got more streams on that than we have on some songs that we've actually put a lot of promotional dollars in. We put very little promotional dollars onto that, and it's streamed very well for us. So, you know, I can't complain, and I'm happy. I'm proud of what we did with it, and, you know, if people like it, they like it. If they don't like it, there's going to be another tune. It's okay. There's plenty to choose from.
There's going to be plenty more coming. There's a whole box set coming. So, what's all going to be in this box set? Like, I mean, you're going to, like, overload people with the Beer Union music.
Yeah, I mean, there's just in Decade 2 alone, there's 8 brand new songs. We do have a new single that's coming in a couple of weeks. Most people don't even know that yet. But we have a brand new single, my favorite song on the album, and the one that we've been kind of gearing up to really kind of get out there. And so that's going to be coming out in a couple of weeks. People will get the first taste of that. And then so there's 8 new songs, the 2 covers, and then there's 8 acoustic versions on Decade 2. And like I said,
wow.
20 songs on the demos and rarities, and then the original 18 songs from Decade 1. So there's 56 songs that's coming out on this box set. It's a lot
Holy
of material.
Cow. Yeah.
Yeah.
So now, when that's all said and done, like, how do you follow that up? 58 songs?
With something way more simple. Here's our new album. Something nice and simple, like here's a 6-song EP. They're all new songs. Done.
Right. Here's one single. There you go. That's it. We're done.
Here's. See you next month. Here's one single.
Exactly. But you can get away with that now. That's the scary part.
I know. It's crazy. Again, the evolution of just the music industry has just changed so much. And it's still changing day by day. And trying to keep up with it, I feel bad for the artists that are much older than us that are completely they're not tech savvy whatsoever. They don't know they really just don't know what's going on. They're just like, I just want to play music. You know, it's tough to keep up.
Yeah, it really is. So where should we send everybody to get the music, the box set, and keep up with you guys and everything else?
Well, if you're like me and you're all about streaming, August 31st, you can go to, you know, definitely I push you to go to Spotify or Apple Music, or if you use one of the other places, Deezer or, you know, there's so many, you know, please go stream the music there. The new album's going to be out August 31st. But if you are one of those people that still like to have the hard copy in your hands, this box set is limited edition, so we're only doing one run of this box set that will ever exist. So the only way that you can get that box set is from theveerunion.com exclusively. So if you are interested in getting it, it says right on the box, limited edition, so that we can't fake it. So go to theveerunion.com, and I think probably... Yeah, you want to get we've already sold a fair amount of those box sets. I think they're already 50% gone. So, So I think that if you're one of those people like me and you want to have an actual hard copy version, we have signed copies that we're selling at theveerunion.com. And, yeah, you can keep in touch with us on Instagram, /TheVeerUnion, Facebook.com, /TheVeerUnion. That's basically how to keep in touch with us.
Nice. Now, that 50% that are already sold, is that the 50% that is going to like it or hate it?
Either way, you know, I've either way they bought it. So, no, I'm just kidding. I know. I would tend to believe that if they spent their hard-earned dollars, that it's the people that have heard something and they like it, and that's why they bought it.
Absolutely. Cool. Well, Crispin, I'm glad we got this hooked up, man. It was great talking to you. Lots of luck with everything.
Yeah,
and, you guys can come to Philly sometime soon.
Yeah, I do. Well, definitely. I think that right now we're talking about booking a second leg to our tour. So there's a ton of places that we haven't, that's not on this tour. So that's coming up because we start this tour with Puddle of Mud, Saliva, Tantric, and Shallow Side on the 30th. And then we headline for a little while. And then we are booking another leg. So we'll definitely be back to Philly for sure.
Awesome. Awesome. Look forward to it.
Awesome, man. Us too.
Cool. All right, man. I'll keep in touch. Take care. And, sell some more albums.
Absolutely, man. Thank you so much.
Thanks, man. Take care.
Okay, man. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So faithless, lost under the surface. Don't know what you are expecting of me. Put under the pressure of walking in your shoes. Every step that I take is another mistake to you. Every step that I take is another mistake to you. So much more aware, I'm becoming this old. smothering me, holding too tightly, afraid to lose control. 'Cause everything that you thought I would be has fallen apart right in front of you. Every step that I take is another mistake to you.
Bay Ragney here, and there they are, the Veer Union, and that was their cover of the Linkin Park classic Numb. I told you, it's a beautiful version. Go to the Veer Union for more information. You get all their links to their social media, the box set, and everything they got going on, tour dates and more. TheVeerUnion.com. That's VEERUnion.com. So, all right, so next up we got the Protest, Josh Bramlett, the Protest. Like I said, good dude, cool band, they rock, and you're going to find out right now all about them, and you're going to find out how much they rock when we play their new single and video, What Else You Got. So here they are. Here's Josh Bramlett of The Protest.
Josh.
Hey, what's up, man? How's it going?
Good, man. How you doing?
Hey, doing good, my man. Doing good. Sorry I'm a couple minutes late, man.
Oh, it's all right. Hey, you showed. The 3 o'clock didn't show, so you already get a thumbs up.
Okay, good, man. That's good to hear.
So, you know, I have a very important question to ask you before we even get
all right.
into all the music.
Can't wait.
when is the return of the Protest Evening News at 6 going to happen?
Man, that's a very good question. Well, we were just talking about that the other day, and the guys and I think it's about time to dust off the wigs and give it another shot, you know? You know,
absolutely.
I'm so glad that you asked that question because, you know, we do those dumb videos from time to time, and sometimes we wonder, does anybody even care about these? But it doesn't really matter because we have a blast making them, so...
Hey, don't feel bad. Like I do these, you know, because Facebook Live is like such the in thing now. So I do these goofy, you know, Oreo has like all these different flavors. So I sit there, me and my daughter, and we do these like Oreo taste test things, and people like go nuts for them. And like everywhere I go, like sometimes when I go out to like the clubs and see bands and all, like they're bringing me Oreo cookies. I'm like, people, stop.
That is
like,
hilarious, man.
It's a joke. Like, how about, like, let's listen to the music and the show. Like, let's forget about the Oreos for a minute. You know what I mean?
Right. That's hilarious, man.
Oh,
so how old is your daughter?
Well, I have two. The one I do the videos with, she's 14. And then I have an older daughter who's 20. I'm an old guy, man. You guys are young guys.
No way, dude. Well,
even
I appreciate
though
you,
I used to. I found out some other little tidbits about you. I saw that you're like you still do like the movie rental thing instead of doing Netflix.
Oh yeah. Dude, I'm adamant about. I just love going to the video store, man. I love it. Like, it's so fun. I don't go there with a movie that I want to rent. I just go there and look around, and I try to – I'm a huge cinema nerd, so I just try to take in as many movies as I can. It's kind of a way that I unwind and take a little bit of me time, you know?
Where do you still find movie rental places?
Dude, Family Video is very strong in the Midwest. So when we're home, man, we still – I mean, I got one right here in town that I frequent, and it's awesome. I mean, dude, outside of that, there isn't any. I mean, all the blockbusters and all the, you know, Hollywood videos and stuff of the world are long gone. So Family Video is still repping pretty hard here in the Midwest, so I'm loving it.
That's wild. Yeah, when I read that, I was like, wait a minute, how is that still possible?
No, it's lots of fun, man. I'm all about
That's
it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So now, you guys are, correct me if I'm wrong, you guys are a Christian rock band, correct?
Yeah, I mean, we're a positive rock band full of dudes that love Jesus.
Now, I saw that you guys, I mean, like, it seems like the big real thing that started this whole thing with you guys when you guys were young was Kiss. But,
oh, yeah.
And I was like, wow, how about Stryper? Was Stryper an influence at all?
Dude, honestly, like, when we were younger, I didn't really know much Christian music or really care for it. When I was really young, it was all about classic rock and classic metal. Kiss was definitely the first band. I was, like, 7 or 8 when I found Kiss. And, you know, as a kid, I saw these guys. Our neighbors had tons of their memorabilia and all these toys and all these things because their dad was a diehard Kiss fan, and I saw all these comic books and all these things, and I thought they were superheroes that happened to play music on the side. You know what I mean? Like, when I started listening to their music, I just loved it. And, you know, I mean, as an adult now, I realize that, I mean, Kiss, they aren't the best musicians. They aren't lyrically stunning. You know, I still love Kiss to this day because they were such a big influence. And then that led to, well, Kiss is cool. How about Judas Priest, Iron Maiden? How about, you know, Van Halen, Def Leppard, you know, all this stuff. And then, when I got into 80s hair metal, then I started, when I got into 80s hair metal and became a Christian, I discovered, you know, along with your Rats and Dawkins and Poisons of the world, there are your, you know, your Petras, your Stripers, your White Crosses, you know, there were some pretty good ones, man. And we've had the pleasure of opening for Petra, and it was an honor, man. They're really good dudes. So
that's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. You know, I it's funny, like when you say about the Kiss being superheroes and just playing music on the side. Like, I grew up in the 70s, so I got to, like, I was a kid of the 70s experience and all that. So that's totally what I thought. Like, between the comic books and the movie, like, that's really what you thought. Like, I was sold.
Right.
They were superheroes. I mean, they really, they portrayed it great.
Oh, dude, they did. Yeah, and then you become an adult and you realize, you know, that, you know, it's not quite, you know, how you thought it was. But, man, I tell you what, dude, I still love Kiss. I've got every record. Huge, huge, huge fan. So,
I mean, I'll tell you what, like, I didn't get to see them in the makeup in the 70s. The first time I saw them was in 84 on the Animalize
tour.
So, you know, I got to see, like, all the Unmasked tours they did. And then when they did the reunion, I'm here in the Philadelphia area. They came to Philly. They did 4 nights, sold-out nights on the reunion tour. And I went to 3 of them. But I'll tell you what, those 3 nights I saw them masked for the first time in makeup, I cried at each show like a baby. It was such an experience.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I mean, dude, and I would have absolutely killed to have seen Kiss in their, you know, in their prime, or even on that run. I mean, I would have been 6 or, you know, 6 at the time or whatever, and I just didn't, you know, it was too late for me. And I when I finally got to see Kiss, they had, you know, Eric and Tommy in the band, which is totally cool, but I would have loved to see Ace and Peter. So
absolutely. So now the one question I gotta ask too, like, about you guys, like, do you guys actually have a bass player? It seems like you don't.
Actually, right now we do not. Due to the, we've had 3 bass players in our 10 years. All awesome dudes, all awesome bass players, just felt led to do different things at some point. And we're blessed by technology. We have a bass cab and a bass rig, and we run bass tracks at our shows. You know, we aren't ruling out. I mean, like, we like having live bass, obviously. But, you know, the four of us have been in it so long together. We really sacrificed a lot for it. And, you know, adding another, like, a decision-making full-time member at this point would is something that we really have to consider. You know, it's tough. If we, you know, we're more likely to, you know, have some hired, you know, have a hired gun, you know, a friend or two
right.
come out on different tours and stuff just to fill in, as opposed to getting another full-time member.
Yeah, I guess that, I mean, like, because it's been the four of you guys since day one.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's you and your brother. And
yeah.
And which, the weird thing, too, I mean, the one guitar player, Adam, he was your guitar teacher originally?
Yes. So, man, it's a big blessing how it all worked out, man. Like, so really me, TJ, and my brother have been playing music together since like 2004. Adam didn't
okay.
join the band till 2009, but since 2009, it's been the four of us nonstop. Now, Adam, he's got 4 years on me. He was in high school. I was in early middle school. My dad's a high school teacher. And I was getting into music. I wanted to learn how to play guitar. I'd taken lessons at the time, but it just, I mean, nothing stuck with me. My dad knew that Adam played. He said, "Hey, would you teach my son how to play?" He accepted, started coming over and teaching me. And, you know, he came over and he was, you know, instead of teaching me, you know, theory and scales right off the bat, he was teaching me Led Zeppelin songs and AC/DC songs. And I was like, man,
nice.
This guy's awesome. And, you know, we became really good friends. And over time, he went out to California to study guitar and get a degree. The Lord led him back here and started the band with us. And we've been at it ever since.
That's awesome. Did you ever think at any time about picking up guitar again yourself or switching to bass or?
Man, I've thought about it. You know, I will tell you this. I still play guitar a lot. I love guitar. I love being a front man so much that, I mean, I don't want anything, you know, holding me back. You know what I mean?
Right.
I used to play guitar for the band, and I mean, at the time it was good, but like, you know, like my guys are they're so much better than I am. And I just like, I like being the front man. It's freeing, and that's just, yeah, I love it. And having, you know, having something else in my hands at this point would be, not good. And I'm never been real rhythmically, inclined, or I guess not rhythmically inclined, but not real coordinated. And it's a really hard fought war for me to play certain rhythms and sing at the same time. So, yeah. So, I mean, there's kind of a lot to it.
I get it. You got, you know, it's multitasking at its finest right there. And it takes a lot of concentration. So you guys released your new album last month, The Legacy. And
yes, sir.
Going kind of back to the whole Kiss thing. It kind of like surprised me because, I guess is it the first single of the album or the new single, What Else You Got, which is,
yeah.
You guys have a video for as well. The one thing that I kept seeing about it, and it is, it's a very anthem-styled song in that, you know, Kiss was always big for them anthems. And I think I saw that you guys had said, like, this was kind of like the first time you guys did a song that was more of like an anthem-style song for you.
Oh, totally, man. You know, we've had some pretty, I guess, anthemic songs in the past, but for our first two records, man, we were really afraid to have any outside help. We wanted to keep it all in-house. We weren't, you know, we were too prideful a lot of times to have
sure.
co-writers or have people with other ideas come in. And, you know, I mean, we were younger and just didn't understand, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I stand by everything we've done. I love it. But the cool thing about this new record is, man, you know, like, you know, four or five of the songs we, you know, we sat down in a room or over Skype with another writer and just pounded out ideas. And, you know, having another mind in there, man, is huge. And that really revolutionized the game for us. I don't think we would have ever written a song like What Else She Got if it wasn't for the guys that we were writing with. So, you know, I just, you know, we love Def Leppard and that kind of stuff. And this song is very modern, but, you know, with the drums and the backup vocals and all that stuff, it's got kind of a big anthem sound to it, and we love it.
Now, was that scary for you guys to, like, kind of let somebody into your circle to, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, it's kind of like playing with your child. You know what I mean? Like your music.
It is. Oh, dude, totally. Yeah, I mean, it's our baby. I think what helped is our first couple co-writes we did with some guys in a band that we've always looked up to and really enjoy. They're called A Disciple. They're really popular on the Christian rock side of things. You know, in high school, man, I remember going to all their shows, just really looking up to them. And, you know, fast forward years down the road and we're best friends, we're touring with them. And, their guitar players, both of them are very gifted songwriters. One of them has a publishing deal with a company down in Nashville, and he's written so many good songs. So it kind of eased the tension writing with a friend at first. And then that kind of opened the door for our producer was like, hey, I got this guy and this guy that want to write with you guys. And, we kind of got our feet wet with the, with our buddies, and then we were a lot more comfortable. So we kind of went for it from there. So
nice. Now this single too, I mean, it was also the fastest rising one of your career for you guys. I mean, it was number 32 on Billboard Rock Mainstream. I think it was even higher on the Christian rock charts.
Yeah. I mean, right now, I think kind of on its way, I think it kind of reached its peak on the secular side. We ended up getting number 20. We cracked top 30 on secular, which is a huge blessing, man. I would have never dreamed that. And then right now we have a top 10 single in the Christian rock charts. We're at number 10. So, awesome. You know, man, we're super blessed by the success of the song. You know, people are loving it, singing it everywhere, and it's super cool, man. It's been awesome.
Now, does that make you even more nervous? Like, now we got to follow it up.
Yes, exactly. You know, we've already been in talks about our next single and what that should be and what that. I think there's a lot of potential on the record. We're going to get some other minds on it and see what they think. But I think we have it narrowed down, and you know, hopefully it's as well received as What Else You Got. We're super blessed. We don't have much to offer. We're just humble dudes from the Midwest trying to make our way. As you know, there's not tons of money in rock and roll. That's not why we do it. But we're just grinding, man, grinding, trying to make this thing a reality for us and our families.
That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, and I actually, like, as I was going through and reading a bunch of stuff about you guys last night and other interviews and stuff like that, I saw that mentioned quite a few times about, like, you know, it was not even just from you, like other guys in the band too, with other interviews they did. And you guys all said it's pretty much the same thing. Like, we're not in this for the money. And, like, at this stage of the game, at the music business, you kind of can't be.
Right. No, dude. No, I mean, dude, I mean, you said it. I mean, when we aren't touring, we're working. I mean, we're at home. Like, we have part-time jobs that let us leave and do our thing. And, we don't have the luxury, unfortunately, to just do the band. I mean, it's a big part of our lives. And when people ask me what I do, I say, you know, of the band. But I've got a regular part-time job, and, you know, I'm blessed to have it. Helps pay the bills and stuff like that. But I would love, absolutely love to, someday just be able to do the band. So, you know, man,
sure.
We'll see what the Lord has for us. We're just trying to reach some people and just see what we can do, man.
Nice. Now, future single and any more videos you guys want to do? Or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, we've already been talking about our next single and next video. We're very, very excited. We love doing music videos, man. You know, it's almost a lost art.
you know, because, I mean, everyone's doing, you know, lyric videos now or just no videos at all. And, dude, like, we didn't like making them. I mean, selfishly, I mean, even if it's just for us, like, I mean, dude, like, we just love doing it. It's a blast, man. We got a guy back home named Adam Shoemaker, does it part-time, but just does incredible work. We work with him, and, he's awesome, and we're super, super stoked for the next one. Already got some pretty cool ideas flowing, so we'll see.
Cool. Now, you guys are actually got a bunch of dates this month lined up as well.
Yes, sir. Yep. We're heading out on a little headlining run. We had a couple shows over the past weekend, and we're going to be rocking it out till the end of August. And, it's going to be mainly East Coast, Southeast kind of stuff. It's all on our website, www.theprotestrocks.com. And, we'd love to see some folks out there, and we'd love to meet you and hear your story and hang out. So,
have you guys come to Philly at all yet?
Man, we've been around Philly. We played Pennsylvania, like, all the time, but haven't played in Philly yet. We've been everywhere. Pittsburgh, Chambersburg, Uniontown, I mean, all over. We have a show next month in Shippensburg,
yeah.
Yeah, Pennsylvania. Love the state, man, and I would love to come to Philly sometime, but surprisingly, in our 10 years, we haven't played in Philly yet. So,
you got to figure that one out. Come on.
I know, man. I mean, at the very least, so I can meet you, dude.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And, we have Pez here, too. I hear you collect Pez, so we have Pez here.
Oh, do you? Okay. Wow, man, you really did do your homework, man. So
how
you realize
that,
how much of a nerd I am.
Hey, man. If you saw my office and saw the little stupid toys I have floating around, we'd fit right in together, believe me.
Well, will you please tell that to my wife so she realizes that I'm not insane? That would be awesome.
Well, how about this? I'll tell your wife, you tell my wife, and maybe, like, we can work together on this.
Deal.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, there are some grown men that have those weird, weird things. Dude, I'm telling you, man, I'm a big horror movie fan and stuff, so I've got horror stuff. I've got all kinds of little action figures and knickknacks and stuff all over my office. So, yeah, it's kind of fun, man. It's kind of fun hunting that stuff down and checking it out,
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, and actually, you guys are heading over to Germany later this year too. Have you guys been there before? Or?
Yeah, man. This will be our third time going overseas. For whatever reason, we have a pretty decent little following over there in Germany. They really like their rock and metal over there, man. So we're really excited about that. And we're also we also have 3 dates in Latvia, which we're really excited about as well. So, and that is our first time over in Latvia. And from what I've heard, the fans there aren't quite as into it as the German fans, but we'll see. Me and the guys are pretty good at breaking the ice, so we'll see how it goes.
That's awesome. Well, dude, this is a lot of fun talking to you, man. Congratulations on the album, the single. Much more success.
Dude. Oh, man, thank you so, so much, brother. And thank you so much for, helping keep the scene alive and, doing your thing, dude. That definitely means a lot to us. And thanks for taking your time out talk with me. And, dude, I'd love to do it again sometime, man.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. And where should we tell everybody to go to get all the info, the album, everything else?
Yes, sir. I usually shoot them in 1 of 2 places. They can go to www.theprotestrocks.com or www.facebook.com/theprotest. So, and we're on Spotify and all that crazy stuff. So, yeah, man, check us out. If you can hear us out there, we love you and hope to see you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, man. Take care, dude. It was great talking to you, Josh.
Hey, awesome awesome talking to you, man. Take care.
You too. Bye.
All right, see you, buddy.
Welcome back to Jim Radio Rocks, Bay Ragney here. There they are, The Protest, Josh Bramlett, and that is their new song, single, video, What Else You Got. Check them out. They're out there. They got some dates coming up this month through August, some dates later in the year. Go to theprotestrocks.com and like them as well. Get all their links for all their social media. Find out about the new album. You can get it. It's on all the streaming services. Them, the Rear Union. Like them, love them, follow them, subscribe to them. And do the same for myself. That's right, Bay Ragney and Totally Driven Entertainment and Totally Driven Radio. It's like us, love us, follow us, subscribe to us everywhere and anywhere that's humanly possible. So thanks again for tuning in for another episode of TDR Rocks. I got another interview for TDR Rocks coming up on Tuesday at noontime with Neil Merriweather. And this interview, it's going to blow your doors off. We talk about his involvement in getting Billy Joel signed. How they recorded the demo of Piano Man, which caused Billy Joel to get signed by Columbia Records. We talk about his involvement with Rick James back in the early 70s before he became the Super Freak. How he turned down becoming a member of Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. And how he got screwed over by Lita Ford. And then when he saw her 33 years later, what she did. All that and more. And he's got a new album that just came out. It's called Merriweather Stark, and it freaking rocks. So check that out. That's Tuesday. And then Thursday night, I'll be doing a live episode of TDR Rocks where I'll be spinning a bunch of my favorite tunes and yours as well. So you can call in, make a request, ask some questions, talk, rock and roll, metal, whatever you want to do. 718-508-9883. That's Thursday night. Until then, stay driven, everybody, and see ya.